In the last two devotional lessons, we learned about spiritual maturity, and we identified and learned a few of the godly characteristics that are found in a spiritually mature Christian. Well, now we need to ask ourselves this question. How do we attain spiritual maturity in our own lives? Well, perhaps we could begin with what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, according to the context, Paul was speaking to his fellow Christians. So pay close attention to the words that Paul uses here. It seems rather obvious that we must make some changes in our way of thinking. It also means we cannot continue walking. That means living our lives according to worldly patterns, but rather we should live our lives according to the Word of God. Now, thankfully, the Bible gives us everything we need to make such changes in our lives and grow as Christians. That's what 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says. And the reality is, we're all capable of changing and improving our lives so that we can be pleasing to God. So when we intently study the subject of spiritual growth in the Bible, we find that Jesus and the inspired writers often compare the development of a growing Christian to that of a growing plant. The comparison is simple. Just as a plant grows and produces fruit, every Christian must also grow and produce fruit. So look at what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. In verse 1, he says that he could not speak to them as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And then in verse 6, he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Now, what can we deduce from his analogy in verse 6? Well, he's saying that just as a child grows by nourishment of food, such as milk, well, a plant grows by nourishment of water. In both cases, what's the source of the increase? Well, it's God. See, God put this law into motion when he created the world, and all growth comes from his power and not our own. Now, another powerful passage that uses that plant analogy is John 15, verses 1 through 8, and it is full of divine wisdom. Notice how God and Jesus are identified in verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Then if you look in verse 5, his disciples, that is, you and me, are called the branches. Now, the analogy is simple. Only the trunk can supply what is necessary for the branches to produce fruit. And Jesus does that for us. Jesus is saying, without me, you can do nothing. In the original Greek of the New Testament, there are several words for branch. The term used here is one that means a tender offshoot or a vine sprout. We might even call it a twig. Well, a twig or a vine sprout is rather insignificant compared to the branch of a large tree. A small twig carries no real strength, and it dries out faster than a tree branch would. In fact, a good-sized branch is still useful as wood, even after it dies. For example, one could make furniture or tools or some other functional thing with that piece of wood. But when a twig dies and it dries out, well, it's not really useful for anything. It's just simply gathered up and thrown into the fire. So how does all of this apply to the Christian? Well, it is implied in this passage that we have no other greater purpose in life than to bring glory and honor to God. That's the point Jesus Christ is making in John 15, verse 5. We should also note that Jesus said, "A tree is known by its fruit," in Matthew 12, verse 33. This means that we are known or can be identified by what we produce, that is to say, our actions and our behavior. Now, we certainly know how to identify an apple tree simply by its fruit, or an avocado tree by its fruit, and so forth. So, how can people identify us as Christians? They identify us if we demonstrate it through our actions or our fruit that we bear. You see, God desires action from us, and our actions are extremely important. That's why it's called bearing fruit. That is what is meant by it. It means to take action, specifically those actions that bring glory to God. And all of this harmonizes perfectly with other passages throughout the Bible, such as Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, that says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." The Bible teaches that we are to change the way we think, and we prove it by producing fruit in our lives, fruit that honors and exalts God. Well, okay, we've now come to the point where we understand that a Christian must bear fruit in order to be pleasing to God. So you might be wondering, well, what is that fruit, or what are those actions that we're supposed to produce? What does that mean exactly? Well, in tomorrow's lesson, we'll begin examining the specific traits of that fruit that God desires for us to produce in our lives.